but I am glad to get to preach. I tell you, the Lord's really good. Everything he does, and he always, just like Pastor said right there, he's had everything planned out from eternity.
There it is. And I praise his holy name. Nothing goes amiss. Everything he does in might and power.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Everything he does in all wisdom. Everything he does perfectly.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And this whole world, you know, the Bible talks about the circle of the earth. I may have said this here before, and if not, I'd like to hear it again because it's so good. When I think about it, it just astounds me. You're all familiar with pi. We were talking about pi a while ago. You're all familiar with that term pi, r squared, in math. And the young boy from the holler, he said, everybody knows pi aren't square, it's round. But he had a little to learn there, and couldn't teach the teacher that. But pi r squared, it's the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. And it's equal to... Now look at this number, 3.14159265358979323846, and it goes on forever without repeating itself. Now, a lot of fractions, they'll go on and then they'll repeat themselves. Pi goes on for eternity without repeating itself. They say you can find everyone's social security number in those numbers. You can find everyone's birth date in those numbers. Goes on forever. What God does, he does perfectly.
Amen.
And some of the things that he does just astound me. In fact, many of the things that he does just astound me. How he does things. But it just gives us all a much more opportunity to praise him. It's a privilege to praise God's name. It's a privilege worked out by grace, as the pastor was just saying, to praise God's name and to live this life that he's called us to live, to look forward to heaven as we saw there in Sunday school and the glories that it will be there that we can't even imagine. It's amazing to me what God does so many of the times. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Acts, the 16th chapter, I want to bring a message this morning on the gospel at Lystra. Lystra was a city in Greece. Now, Paul was a Roman, as we'll see in this message. But he went on a missionary journey, and we find him over in the 15th chapter at Lystra, once in Derbe. And yet he went on a second missionary journey, and he came back to the same place that God allowed him to see on the first place because God's work wasn't done. Many times we don't understand what God's doing. I'll just go right ahead and confess this right up. I never, in my planning, planned to be on this furlough raising funds to get back to Scotland for as long as I've been. I thought I'm going to be back here. I'll get it done in a couple of months. Everything be fine and dandy, and I'll get back over there and get to work planting that church in Hawick. That's spelled H-A-W-I-C-K. First time I asked a Scotsman where Hawick was, he kind of got that look on his face. He said, Hawick? How do you spell that? I said, H-A-W-I-C-K. And he went, oh, you mean Hoik? some of their cities. I was looking for Strathaven. Strathaven, big long name for a city. And they said, oh, you mean Strathaven? And so they have their own way. You know, but praise the Lord for diversity. Praise the Lord that God has he loves everyone. We're going to say a bunch of these different things. There's so many truths in this chapter as we look at the 16th chapter of Acts that God shows us about him, about his creation, about his work, because it was the Lord Jesus Christ that said, I will build my church.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And a lot of folks don't get that. Just like Pastor said, they're coming up with light shows and rock music and all this stuff to attract people into church, and they're building their church.
Exactly.
And the Lord's standing outside looking at it, looking at that mess. Right. And we know many times what results after that. But when we stick with the pattern, the biblical pattern, God shows us how easy it is to trust in him, how easy it is to do His work with Him. He's doing the work. We're just His instruments. I saw an Amish man grab a little triangular square there, and he was laying it on a board, and he's making different cuts. And you know what happened after he made those different cuts and put it up there? It worked. You know why? He was doing it by the pattern. When we work by God's pattern,
Amen.
It turns out great.
Amen.
And He is building His church, and I really believe, as I stand back and look at it, I believe it's kind of like that contractor that goes through the whole house that he's erected. He goes through that whole house and he checks every square inch of that house for inside and out to make sure it's all finished, doing up those little touch-ups. I believe that's where the Lord is, checking all the trim that it's all cut right and filled in and painted right. I believe He's checking out His whole church because we're in the very last time when His Father says, "It's time, go get your bride."
Amen.
And I can't wait for that. Hopefully it's going to happen while I'm preaching this. But if it doesn't, let's look at Acts, the 16th chapter. We're just going to read the very first verse there because it has bearing on the whole chapter. As we read here, Acts 16, 1, "Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." Thank you. God shows us right here so many truths in this one verse alone.
Yeah.
Timothy, if you'll pardon the expression, was a half-breed. Yeah. Timothy was half Greek, half Jewish. Those two cultures in themselves, those two countries, nationalities, were bizarrely different. But you know what happens among young people many times? They get attracted. You know, this dispels all prejudice. I was thinking about this week. Prejudice is rooted in ignorance.
Yeah, you're right.
Seriously, all prejudice in this world is rooted in ignorance. Now, I believe there's a wisdom. We must seek God for everything. But many times, things happen. And this Greek man was attracted to this Jewish girl, and they got married, and they had a little son named Timothy. Timotheus, his name was. And we see there that he got saved. Why? Because he believed.
Yeah.
Yesterday, we were out visiting, and I talked to a man. Gary White was his name. And bless my soul. This hadn't happened to me in a while. But it was easy to see how God was already working on him, preparing him for salvation. He said, "I just started reading the Bible this week." Well, I wonder where that came from.
Amen. Amen.
God instills desires. It says that we're drawn to Him by His mercy. We're drawn to Him by His goodness. We're drawn to God. And so the Holy Spirit was drawing this Gary White, and he just started reading the Bible, and he started reading right over there in the beginning. But it was kind of like that eunuch didn't understand what he was reading. He said, "Did you know the heaven and earth are both the same?" And I said, "Well, that's a new one on me." But I went ahead and explained to him. He said, "Yeah, it says so over in the first of Genesis." And it doesn't. He was just not understanding what he read. I explained to him about the heaven of all things. I explained to him how the heaven was considered this first atmosphere around. That was the first heaven, the atmosphere around the earth that the Bible talks about. And then the second heaven was that what we call outer space. Where he put the stars and the sun and the planets and all of that. And then I said, the third heaven is where God lives. And God wants to bring you to heaven. And I just used that to launch into presenting the gospel.
Amen.
And he readily accepted the gospel.
Praise
Why?
Lord.
Because the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Had already been at work before
Amen.
I even showed up. All I did was reap the benefits of seeing a soul saved.
Hallelujah.
He did all the work.
Amen.
And that's what He does when He builds His church.
Amen.
If we'll stick to the pattern, and this pattern is Acts. There's so many truths, as I said, that we can see here. As we get down to it, now, generally I'll have an outline to go by, and I kind of have an outline, but I'm just going to totally rely on the Lord. I love preaching with an outline. You know what? The Lord said today, just preach it. Preach what I give you. And so I'm glad to be able to get out of my comfort zone
Amen.
And trust the Lord for what He has already planned for us today.
Amen.
There in the second verse it says, "Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium." Also, again, two Grecian cities. "Him would Paul have go forth with him," Now look at that. Let's back up here to the last verse. I want to show you a truth here that I saw. In verse 41 it says, "And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches." Who's it talking about? It's talking about the Apostle Paul, who in the 40th verse says Paul chose Silas, and they departed by the brethren, recommended by the brethren under the grace of God. Why did Paul choose Silas? Because Paul had a fight with Barnabas. Imagine that, two Christians fighting. Unheard of. Good night. Seriously. Over there in the previous chapter there in the 20th verse it says, "But that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood." This was a recommendation of the apostles in Jerusalem. "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, and being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day," they were explaining something. We're not continuing Judaism.
Amen.
Christ is building his church using Christianity, which was they were first called that in Antioch. Then look at verse 22. "Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas," namely, and these two accompanied Paul and Barnabas before Judas, named Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. They had an evangelistic team, you might say. The Lord Jesus Christ sent his own disciples out in twos and threes. But he sent them, the church ordaining that sending, the power of the local church behind that group, going out to win folks to the Lord and to plant churches. And God did that over and over and over. But then Paul and Barnabas, they have the fight over John Mark, Barnabas' nephew. And Barnabas took Mark and Paul took Silas. They have two teams. You know what God can do? God can reap. And I don't understand. Here's another one that I don't understand. God can reap glory out of our mistakes.
Yeah.
In fact, so many times I have prayed this, "Lord, forgive me for that mistake. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't ever want to repeat that mistake. But if you'll just take this mistake and turn it to your honor and glory," and I've watched it happen over and over and over. How's that? Because he's God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He's our mighty God. There in the fourth verse, it says, "And they went," now look, 41st verse said he went. In the first verse it says, "Then came he," it's talking about Paul, "and they went," after they grabbed Timotheus, after Timotheus repented and believed, got saved, and they trained him a bit there. And the third verse says, "Him would Paul have to go forth with him." And Paul bowed to peer pressure. You know, a lot of times we Christians bow to peer pressure. We should never be afraid to stand alone with God.
Amen.
As Pastor said that last week, that's the majority.
Amen. Yes, sir.
If we're standing with God, we're in the majority.
Amen.
We don't have to worry about what people say. We go out there and stand this afternoon, holding those signs. We can smile and wave because we're in the majority.
Yes, sir.
We're standing on God's side. We're standing on the side of life.
Yeah.
Just as that poem so beautifully portrayed there, we're standing for life.
Amen.
And this life is in His Son, the Bible says.
Yes, sir.
Every little baby that's born into this world should have the chance to see God's Son for who He is and accept salvation.
Amen.
Now, praise the Lord! There in the when he took Timothy with him, he bowed to the peer pressure of the Jews. Why? Because everyone knew his father was a Greek. You know what that means? Paul heard what they were saying. You know, people talk behind your back all the time. They will. Maybe it's news to some of you, but they do it all the time. They do it all the time. So what?
Amen, right there.
You know what that should do? It should fall off our back just like water off a duck's back.
Amen.
Who cares? Now, if I'm doing right, there's no reason to worry about what people say. But Paul was human. This is another blessed truth. I'm glad God put their mistakes in here and their weaknesses in here so we can learn from them and become stronger through the Word of God by them. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for the keep that were ordained. And we saw some of those just a while ago by the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. Now I want you to look at that. It's the writer here, Dr. Luke. Who wrote Acts and he wrote Luke, so he wrote more volume of the New Testament, but the Apostle Paul wrote more books of the New Testament than anyone else. But Luke is, this is how I could just imagine this, and I'll find out on Judgment Day if it's true, but Luke talked to Paul. Once he joined him, and we're going to see that in a moment, once he joined him, he talked to Paul. So what happened next? And he's writing this down. And he's writing the history of the church down for us to see by God's direction, by the Holy Spirit's direction. Yeah. The Dr. Luke there is writing all this down so we can know what happened. And Paul tells him what happened next. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. How so? Because they went through the cities and delivered them the gospel. You know, the Holy Spirit will use every one of us in this church on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday if we'll let Him. Church isn't about Sunday.
Amen.
That's our chance to worship the Lord, praise His holy name. That's our chance to hear the Word preached as He foreordained. The foolishness to the Greeks,
yes,
but the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
That's what Sunday is, but the Christian life is on those other days when we meet people. When we, just like the young man, just Friday, I think it was, gave him a tract and we're talking to him. And he said, God bless you for what you're doing. I thought, well, that's a change. And he said, we're members at Faith Baptist over here. And maybe to encourage him to do more of that. You know, we all need to be about the Lord's business, every last one of us, because every last one of us is a tool in building His church.
Amen.
When I build, and I am not a builder. But glory to God, I had a good daddy and he taught me some things. When I build, you know, you can grab a hammer and that works best on that nail. If you grab that pinch bar, it's going to work on some nails, all right, but it wasn't meant to hammer wet. Every one of us, the Great Commission was given to every Christian that
That's
is born
right.
into the family Amen. Of God. And when every Christian grasps that and starts laying up treasure in heaven by spreading the gospel word to word, you know, that's why tracts are so, it's so easy. You don't have, you know, you can just say, can I give you something good to read? Most people won't turn it down.
Yeah, that's right.
And then they have it in their hand. And then you're not responsible for their soul. Yeah, but I'm timid. You know, it don't take much to do that.
That's right. You're right.
Can I give you something good to read? Because that is good to read. The good news of the gospel is the best to read, and people need to hear it. Excuse me. Here the Apostle Paul is spreading the gospel. Look at verse 6. Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. What? That's right. The Holy Spirit knows where He wants and when He wants preached.
Amen.
The work in Asia hadn't the Lord Jesus Christ through His Holy Spirit's power hadn't prepared that work yet. As I said, the Holy Spirit must prepare the hearers.
Amen.
He must be there first before us. But the Apostle Paul, praise the Lord, was obedient. Verse 7, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. Again, they were wanting to go one area. It's not our desires that win the world. But I want, doesn't matter what I want. It's what God wants.
Yes.
That's what matters.
Right.
And that's what does the work.
Amen.
And that's what makes it effective. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and you're familiar with this verse, I'm sure, and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. This vision grabbed Paul by his heart. It gave Paul a burden. And he and Timothy and Silas are out there trying to win folks. And he grabs this vision, grabs his heart. And look at verse 10 now. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we. Here's where Luke stepped in. Here's where Luke joined up with him. Because all the rest of his story here contains that word, pronoun, we. He's part of the group now. I praise the Lord that he allowed us the privilege of joining Crossroads Baptist Church. I have praised him many, many, many times that he's allowed us the privilege of joining what he's doing right here in this area. And I count it a privilege. I don't count it a light thing to be able to stand before him and preach. I count that a privilege. And it's holy ground. But God tells us there, we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. God called them to preach the gospel unto those at Macedonia, didn't he? And you know what? To spread this gospel, God tells us we must have a calling, a holy calling. That's talking about that call from the lost. Can you hear their cry? God had called them into Macedonia. How? By hearing a Macedonian begging, screaming, crying out, come help us. There are souls all over this globe, 7.4 billion souls in this globe, in this earth as we know it. And many of them are wrapped in that evil life. Many of them are wrapped in a pagan life. Many are wrapped in a life serving the devil himself, the god of this world, God said. Until the Lord Jesus Christ grabbed that power away from him. But it says there, the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Verse 11 says, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, new city. Excuse me. And from thence to Philippi. Now look what it says about Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. Talking about the power, this powerful city they went into to evangelize. You know, the Lord's called us to Hoik over there, a city of only 14,500 last population count, the news that I got there. There are bigger cities in Scotland. Edinburgh is a very old city. A city when in the ancient past, Christians were burned. Those who held to the gospel were hanged. They were beat to death. There's one place right there in Edinburgh where many, many, many hundreds of people lost their lives for simply doing what we're doing here today. Yeah. Believing the gospel. Amen. Trying to advance the gospel. Glasgow, the biggest city in Scotland. Much greater in population, a huge city. We've evangelized there, and many people still will receive the gospel. But it's amazing how, I mean, Scotland's an amazing place. Total stranger, they'll stop you on the sidewalk. They walk a lot more over there than we do here in America, and a lot of sidewalks. And you're going down the sidewalk, and someone comes and meets you, and they stop and talk to you. Fine weather we're having today. And they love talking about the weather. They love talking about politics. Oh, that man Trump over there, you got. And they love talking about politics. They love talking about the weather. They love talking about anything until you turn it to the gospel. And you can almost see. You know what I think it is? I think it's a curtain of darkness that Satan draws over them. That's what I think it is. I think it's a stronghold of Satan, because that country itself was once the gospel sending area of the globe. And little by little, they replaced the gospel, they replaced faith with religion. Religion, that's something you do on Sunday. Amen. It's not something you take with you throughout the week. You can talk about politics, you can talk about the weather, you can talk about anything. But don't talk to me about the Bible. I was talking to a man, and he said, I don't believe the Bible. I don't believe any man should call himself the Son of God. And I asked him, do you have a Bible? Oh, yeah, I have a Bible at home. I said, do you ever read it? Not that much. I thought, there's the problem right there. Because the Bible says if we'll simply study this word, the Holy Spirit takes this word in our heart and does the work. If we don't get it in our heart, it's not going to be able to do. Yeah, sure, preaching on Sunday will do a little bit, but the most good is done daily by the study and prayerful reading of God's Word. And so there in verse 13, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. The Sabbath, every Jew could walk to synagogue. They could walk to temple, but they couldn't go very far out of the city. Paul and Silas went out there, and look at this. We sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. You know, it's a sad thing here. First we saw the peer pressure, then we saw the permission the Holy Spirit gave them, and then we saw the persecution start. And now we see prayer. You know, it's a sad thing to my heart, to all the places we've been as missionaries. It's a sad thing to my heart to see that women are more inclined to prayer than men. I mean, when we stand before our Creator, God created man in His own image. And God uses prayer to knit our heart to Him. And it's going to be a sad thing if we get there and our mother or our wife or our sister or our daughter prayed more than we did. You men, I'm talking to you. It's going to be a sad, sad thing on Judgment Day. There were a bunch of women out there that are praying, and Paul started talking to them there. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, her and her household, she besought us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. You know what Lydia got busy doing immediately after she got saved? What she could.
Amen.
She could invite. She could cook. She could be hospitable.
Amen.
So that's what she did. It's amazing to see how God uses folks who, and the church was planted. You know, as soon as the church was planted here, the enemy appears. Look at the next verse. And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Fitimiti, they call it in Ukraine. Kapusta, cabbage, the green stuff. The masters had a good deal going here. And look what happened. The same followed Paul and us, here again, Luke's tell, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Can you imagine how she's acting like some of those TV preachers? No, serious. She's following Paul, and she's doing all this, and Paul's starting to get irritated. But look at the verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show to us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, it got to the point where she irritated him so much that he's just grieved. Do you ever get to places in life when you really don't know what to do? You don't know how to solve the problems that are hitting you? And it just bears down on your heart, causes you grief. Grief is an emotion reserved for times like funerals, when we've lost a loved one. Or times like those when we don't know what to do. And Paul was grieved here. He turned and said to the Spirit, God gave him the knowledge to realize there, this is an unclean spirit causing this.
Amen.
You know, I've said it many times, we live in a spirit world. We live in a physical body, but we live in a physical world, but also we live in a spiritual world.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says when the gospel is preached, that angels are present and holy war is taking place, because also angels from the other side are present. They're trying to get you to think of that roast. I hope it doesn't burn. not the Word of God. Amen. They're trying to get you to think, I got to replace that pipe. You know, I hope that thing isn't leaking right now. They want you to think of anything other than the Word of God. But God chose the preaching of the Word, and that's why He sends His angels, hallelujah, to do. And we don't see them. They could be flying over my head right now. And I don't even see them.
You're right, brother.
But they're doing God's work.
Amen.
God wants us to realize we live in a spiritual world, and Paul was given the discernment to realize this is a spirit. This isn't this young lady doing this. You know what? A lot of times in work or jobs or school or wherever, you know, we got to say sometimes, this isn't this person doing this. It's the spirit behind this person.
Amen.
That's motivating them to do what. And so Paul saw that. And Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out that same hour. I thank the Lord every day. When I pray, I thank the Lord for His holy word that He's given us.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for His holy name.
Amen.
The Bible tells us He exalts His word above His name. And there's power in the name of Jesus Christ. There's so much power, the Bible shows us that it rules in this spiritual world, and it yields power over the dark world. Satan has no power against you as a Christian, the Lord Jesus Christ, or His promises aren't true. Now, get this. If the Lord's lying, we might as well just hang it up. Praise God for Titus 1:2 that says He cannot lie.
Amen.
And He told His disciples, He told us, the church, all power is given unto me. God my Father gave me all power. We as Christians, we mess up when we think, well, the devil's got a little power. I better fear him. No, you better not. You better get, like Ephesians 6 says, you better get dressed in all your armor and stand there against him.
Lord, help.
Because the name of Jesus Christ and His shed blood there's all power right there.
That's right.
And they flee when we stand clothed in God's armor. They flee from that because of that.
Amen.
These men, it says there in verse 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, there's some of that prejudice again. I know folks who hate Jews simply because they're Jews. That is ignorance.
Yes, sir.
It's stupidity. It's not knowing God's power. God created every one of us. You know, we're all the same family anyway.
Yeah.
Really? Seriously?
Yeah.
We're all in the same family. Noah only had 3 sons.
Yeah.
And by those 3 sons, the world was repopulated. So it's everyone we meet's a distant cousin or something. He said, well, why did God make so many colors? Well, because He likes variety. You know, like, what is it, Brahms 57 ice cream? I got to stay away from that place. In fact, I don't even know any of it. But they have all these varieties. God likes variety. Oh, it's Baskin Robbins. I knew it was one of them ice creams. I got to stay away from all of them, seriously. God loves variety, so He loves saving those people down in darkest Africa as well as over there in Asia, in the Orient. He loves saving Westerners. God loves saving souls, and He wants us to reach the gospel with His word. So they blamed Him. They started lying about it. Isn't that the devil's crowd? I'm not going to get on this, but I could not believe the lies that were told on this nomination of Kavanaugh. The lies told, and Judgment Day is going to nail all that too. But it says, they do exceedingly trouble our city. What trouble had they caused?
Exactly.
They freed a possessed girl of the demon that was bothering her.
Yeah.
Well, that's a lot of trouble. What trouble did they cause?
Money.
They cut out our living. We were getting rich. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. You see that prejudice?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people feel like because of their birthright or whatever, because of their ancestry, that they're a little bit better on the scale of humanity for some reason or other.
Yeah.
They're idiots in every group. There it is. There are wise people in every group. You just got to look harder. But then they said, being Romans, now over there, and this is important over there if you look in verse 37, because they went ahead and beat them, and I'm leaving out a big part here. Oh, the Lord is so good in all the truths that He shows. But leaving out the big part where they illegally arrested them and illegally threw them in prison and illegally beat them and all of this illegally. It was wrong. It was not according to their own law. Neither was it according to God's law. But what'd they do? Started boohooing in prison, didn't they? No, they started singing praises. I was sitting there singing that last song, I believe, and I could almost hear my daddy singing this song. He loved that Stamps Baxter book where they had a lot of these. I could hear him. He often said when he was in the army, he sang, and his officer told him, "Irvin, you can't sing very good, but you sure can sing loud." And he believed in loud singing. Glory to God. But that's what the apostles were doing. They were singing loud. And the Lord sent an earthquake. And here's a jailer who's supposed to be watching them. He's sleeping through their singing, through their revival going on. He's asleep. But the earthquake got his attention. He woke up and he's ready to kill himself. He pulled us because he looked, all the doors are open here. I was asleep. They're going to kill me now, so I'm going to beat them to the punch. And he's going to commit suicide. You heard about all those swine that ran down that hill and jumped into Sea Galilee and committed suicide. You know what? Suicide is wrong. Suicide is a wrong choice anyone could make. It's just wrong.
You're right.
Amen.
We shouldn't even entertain the idea.
Amen.
But I've known some Christians who have entertained that idea. The devil gives them that thought.
Yes, sir.
We're created in God's image. We're to love life. And there's nothing that can get so bad that that's an option.
Amen.
But sometimes it becomes that. Now listen, they were in there. Paul saw him getting ready to commit suicide, and he hollered at him, and he said, "Do thyself no harm." And he ran in. He fell so many things. He fell down before the apostles. Why? Because he'd never seen this in his life. He'd never heard about it in his life. Anytime the prison doors got unlocked, that young man that was shut all those people down in Texas, and him and those other three, they ran over the wall with a makeshift ladder, and they caught one of them right away, and they caught the other two within a few days. And they were escaping for their life, and praise the Lord, they got caught. But here the Apostle Paul, the Spirit held them there. And then what did that lead to? That led to a revival. That led to him asking, "What can I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And Apostle Paul told him, and he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house," period. That's all it takes to get saved. When I told Gary White, a lot of religions teach you have to do certain things to get to heaven. The gospel does not teach that.
That's right.
The gospel says it's done.
Amen.
It's a religion of done. And all we do is believe that.
Amen.
Believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross.
Yes,
believe
sir.
That the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the tomb for 3 days and night. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He did rise back to come and go back to heaven. And He's there now and has the power to say, "Do you believe that?" Then you're saved.
Amen.
Isn't that simple? So simple.
Yes.
And lost people want to make a big chore out of it. But the word of the Lord, there in verse 32, "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord unto all that were in his house." You know, the word of the Lord gives first testimony of Paul and Silas there. It shows divine intervention, and it shows the entrance of God's word. God's word is what saves. And praise the Lord, it's only God's word.
Amen.
This was all when Paul decided to trust the Lord and be sent by the church. And go where God told him to go, not go where He didn't give him leave, but spreading the gospel. God did the work. So after that, the keeper of the prison came and told Paul, saying in verse 36, "The magistrates," those who think they're in control, like those who think they're running our country,
yeah.
the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart. Go in peace. God bless you. C'est la vie. What Paul said? Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans. They got scared when they heard that. It was illegal. It was against the law to beat, for one Roman to beat another one, openly, uncondemned. Caesar made that law. Did you know there's still a lot of good laws in our country? There's some bad ones, this Roe versus Wade, that we're going to contest today. That was a bad law. Passed by some bad people.
Yes, sir.
But there are some good laws. We're to obey all the good laws. We're to contest all the evil laws, like the Apostle Paul did that today. And we're going to do that by the grace of God. And I hope everyone in here, I trust everyone in here is saved. I trust that you've already done what the Apostle Paul told that jailer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all it takes to get saved.
Amen.
If not, we want to certainly encourage you to do that today. I'll pray, ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. No one looking around, I'm going to turn the service over to the pastor. But if you haven't been saved, do that today. As the pianist comes to start the invitation, people already come to the altar. God bless you.